Mic check, mic check. 1, 2, 1, 2. The IC109 podcast is back with you. Back, and we are live. My in studio guest is none other than Big Mike. He's in the building, y'all. Where's the applause? Let him know. Let him feel the love. Where is it? Oh, I can't even find it. Jeez Louise. I probably have to do this intro again. Dang, dude. I don't know. Usually there's a button to switch it. I guess I don't have it. Got to do the intro again, but anyway.
You're at 109 right now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another IC109 podcast. All right. Big Mike is in the building. What's up, man?
Hey, chilling, man. Chilling.
So what's new with IC109 is I'm now in the process of creating a comic strip to tell these stories, to visually tell the story. So that's the next project I'm working on. So I contacted a dude in Indonesia on Fiverr, the outsourcing app that allowed me to contact a graphic designer, comic strip artist. I gave him the rundown for each scenario that I wanted him to illustrate, and for about $20, he was able to knock it out for me for one country. $20 per country. Now, I have a lot of 109 stories that are related to more than 10 countries, possibly 15 countries. But that's what I'm working on right now. So what I want to show you is basically some of the countries whose stories have been illustrated. And I want to get your feedback on it. All right.
All right.
So, although the people watching this are not going to see us, this is not videoed. This audio will be used in the production. So, for what they'll see, whatever they're going to see exactly what you see, what you and I see. Yeah, and they're going to hear our voices as well.
All right.
All right. So let me get your take on maybe even your narration if you so see fit.
Oh, I went up to that plaza you have, like where McDonald's is, and
here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, in Inglewood, down the street from you.
Inglewood Plaza McDonald's. Okay. Yeah.
And the women were so ugly. I was like, Jesus Christ. One fatter and uglier than the next.
Shout out to from Inglewood. Shout out Inglewood's finest, Richie Mack from Zoom to Thailand. The brother who tells all brothers. His catchline is help yourself, black man. help yourself, black man.
And then like there was one, she was like younger and she was sort of attractive. And I walked past her, and she had like 3 sets of dates on the back of her neck. And I'm like, oh my God, these pirates.
It is what it is. And, well, that's what you get from Big Mike. You get the commentary. So you get the raw opinions, the raw.
Yeah, they're raw like pirates. Things. Like, they drink, they fuck, they're tatted up, they have all kind of piercings everywhere. These women look like just scallywag pirates. It's disgusting.
This version, this episode is going to have the explicit sticker. If you're going to use
each one is fatter than the next. I'm like 300 pounds, and I'm like, you weigh more than me.
Man.
I'm over 6 feet tall. You're 5'2".
Oh, gosh.
This isn't a good thing. You're as tall as you're around.
Well, this is... See,
you ever had, like when you were a little boy, you ever had one of those blow up things that you would hit and it would like teeter back and then come back up?
I know what you're talking about.
That's how these bitches are built.
Oh my gosh.
It is crazy out here. And they bring in their little sperm nuggets in there with trailing behind them. This one chick, she had like 3 little boys with her. Although you could tell the boys were related, but they had different fathers because one was like light skinned, one was dark skinned, and one was like medium brown. They all had the same hair. They had the same braids.
I don't think I'm gonna be able to release this content.
I thought you brought me here for my my observations of LA life.
Oh man, this is too raw. Too raw for TV. Too raw for a podcast. Too raw. This is too raw, man.
Okay, go ahead. And I won't pontificate any further.
All right. Let's focus on the strike. Can you see?
Yeah, I can see it.
It's probably be better if you sat over here.
Then we gotta move the microphones. I can see it.
We can move a seat. Let me get some music going. Let me play a little bit of music so we
can. Well, while we're doing this, I can tell you more about these horrible looking people at the swap meet. Like, you know, in Star Wars, when he goes to the cantina and you see all the different types of space aliens, that's what it looks like going through their plazas. Oh man, these people did not look human.
Let's get some music going, shall we? So we've made some adjustments. If you're still with us.
You're at 109 right now.
All right. That was Kobe Bryant's voice, by the way, man. Legends never die.
He wasn't as good as LeBron.
Whoa.
What?
I don't follow sports like that, but.
He sat on a bench for 3 years. And the last 4 years, he was just chucking up the ball. So that's 7 of his 20-year career. He wasn't the best player on 3 out of 5 of his championships. Of course, he's not as good as LeBron.
Whoa. All right, so we're back to the IC10-9 podcast. The subject now is the new comic strip. So right now, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at this together. Let's check it out. All right. All right, I'm just press play.
The comic strip doesn't come with words?
No.
He wouldn't illustrate words?
Well, I didn't ask him to, actually. There, I do have... all right, so that's the first thing. So, you think I should have words?
Yeah, like... I know the stories, but that means nothing to anyone else. So if you put it on Facebook, if it doesn't have a sound or they don't play the sound, it means nothing. You should have word bubbles.
All right.
So like in a corner, it could say like Larry tricking off in Kuala Lumpur.
Jeez, man. This is Bahrain.
Hotel Bahrain.
All right, now see.
Larry's asking, where are the local prostitutes?
All right, now Big Mike. All right, Big Mike and I lived in Saudi Arabia. So, this story is very close to home because he knows about Bahrain. He knows Saudi Arabia. So, all right. So, the first story that we're looking at occurred in Bahrain. I went to a hotel, Ariel. Ariel was the one who got me to go to this particular hotel. You know why?
Because there's a bunch of Filipinos living there that he can give money to.
No.
These are my people. They ask me for money. I don't know what to do. I have to give them my money.
No.
That's Ariel.
What is...
I have to give them all my money.
So another reason why This was Ariel's idea. But why do you think we were there at this particular hotel?
They had karaoke. They had a Filipino singing group.
No, that's not it either.
They had a lot of cheap whores on the third floor.
No, that's not it either.
I've already named all the things that Ariel likes. He likes Filipino karaoke and whores.
Oh my gosh. It was
mostly cheap. The same thing.
It was cheap. The hotel was cheap.
It is $40.
Yeah, it was cheap. So I would not have chosen it, but he was like, we got to go. We got to stay at this place. So he got his room. I got my room. They were some of the cheapest rooms in Bahrain. Cheap, not really pleasant. It's just the basic. It was very basic. That's what it was. It was clean. Walls were clean. You know, beds were clean. Everything was clean, but it was just extremely basic. All right. Now, here's the thing that happened. So we go in there. I get my key. That's what we're watching, the story about Bahrain. So I talk with the receptionist, who was not a woman. Mind you, it was an Indian dude, but whatever. And I didn't get an actual key. I got, you know, a card, or maybe it was a code or something like that. I don't know. But anyway, the comic is just to illustrate, you know, for illustrative purposes. So the next step, I get the key and I go to my room, open the door, and I notice the television. Atop the television, the satellite dish is on its display the number 109. How does that happen? Big Mike, how does that happen?
I mean, it's just a random number. What was on channel 109? Was that the sports channel?
First off, it wasn't a channel. And the television was off. And that was a box. It was a satellite box. So that was a frequency. A satellite. I'm guessing that was a satellite frequency.
No, it's just one of the channels.
It wasn't the channel. I turned the television on. It was like on channels like 60 or something. And you just run through the numbers of the channel, and that number never changes atop the satellite box.
Mm-hmm.
So why then was 109... the frequency? Why was it on 109? And why did I get that room?
Spooky. Maybe Jesus is talking to you.
See, there's. I mean, it's just a coincidence.
Right.
It's just a coincidence. But it's just a such a coincidence. It's like, how? How is it? How are those my numbers? Larry's numbers are 109. He gets the room with 109 on the. Man, okay.
Yeah, but like, you've been talking about this for like 5 years now, and it comes to nothing. So I think it's going to lead to your madness eventually, but it comes to nothing.
No.
I would ignore it every time I saw it if I were you. I go, look at this bullshit, and keep walking. 109.
Oh,
get
man.
Get out of here.
Okay, so that was in Bahrain, okay? See, this is what I need. I need Big Mike's, you know, insight. Like, what's really going on? You gotta be able to bounce ideas off of folks. Yeah, I'm making. Look, but here's the reality. Here's the reality for both of us, for all of us, right? In America, America is Planet Supermarket, or rather, the Earth is Planet Supermarket. America is. No, you can call America Planet. You can call that Planet Supermarket, whatever. All right. You have to have something to sell. You have to be a market maker. You got to be in the market, and you have to have something to sell. This is the economic principle that somehow I was very late in getting. I watched the recent documentary about the Black Panther Party, and they talked about this as well. They were like, in a capitalist society, you have to be a market maker. You have to buy and sell. But so many other people who are sellers are counting on us being buyers. It's a consumer society. Consumerism, you know, is big. And if we don't exercise our minds, our muscles to expand our horizons, then we'll never advance, never become, you know, better. We never change our circumstances in life. And so what you have to do in our society is you have to become, you have to start a business. You have to have the entrepreneurial spirit. Every successful person that you've ever seen has that business mentality, has always, look at Prince, Michael Jackson. These were entertainers, very skillful, very talented entertainers, but their business acumen was on point. Nipsey Hussle, Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs, okay, Master P. All right, these are recent examples, but then we look at Biddy Mason, a wealthy woman who was one of the founders or like one of the first multi-million, a philanthropist right here in Los Angeles in the 1800s. She was fluent in Spanish as well. She was a business-minded person. Madam C.J. Walker, another business-minded person. All right, I'm going on and on, but my point is we have to be business-minded. Now, the fact that I've traveled the globe, 42-some-odd countries, and I had this coincidence of this happening, well, that has become the basis for my story. And yeah, maybe my story means nothing. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe it doesn't. But then again, this little infinitesimal, this little detail that I found, I've been able to create a story around it. I've been able to create artwork. I've been able to find meaning in it, even if it means nothing. So I'm making something out of nothing. And we have a whole tradition of that. So this podcast, the YouTube channel, the Instagram, the story, I'm able to give more through this story than if I were trying to give directly and say, hey guys, this is what I want to give you. But if I, instead of just giving you, you know, some philosophy, some Eastern philosophy or some ideal that you're not ready to receive, if I tell you my story about 10-9, but I sprinkle in some of that information about what I've learned from, you know, Eastern religion and from other, you know, other parts of the globe that I've traveled to, then I'm giving you something of value in a roundabout way. Come on, Big Mike. He's over here sleeping, man. Oh, my goodness. You just let me just rattle on. All right. So the next country. Next country in the story. Here we go. That's Cuba right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm setting
There's up. Some really light-skinned Cubans.
I tried to make her, the one in the front, I tried to make her, give her some melanin. Try to let her pop. That's kind of, unless we're talking about, you know, the darkest Cuban, yeah, they are some lighter skinned Cubans. That's true. I'd agree with you on that one. There I am in reading about Ernesto Che Guevara de la Serna. So what do you say? I noticed something. What do I notice? Boom. I notice a line. The protagonist, the person I'm reading about, died on this day, 10-9. So 10-9 is a number, 109, 109. But it's also an allusion to my birthday. I was born on October 9th. So there I am in Cuba and I'm reading a book about Che Guevara and I discover he died on October 9th. So that's a 109 moment. What say you, Big Mike?
I mean, he happened to get killed on September 9th. What is there to say?
But I was in Cuba when I discovered this fact.
Yeah. I mean, I think you find coincidences and you tie them together in such a way that they have more more importance than they normally would have. But, like, the fact that you learned about the date of his death in Cuba, and you, I mean, it's not like a random thing. You went out of your way to read about him on that day. You could have read that book before your Cuba trip.
That's true. And I tried to. I tried to one day. I was in a bookstore, and a man, when I reached for the book, I have the book on my shelf right here. When I reached for this book, a man stopped me and was like, "Oh, you're interested in Che." Kind of spooked me because I hadn't been accosted by anyone based upon what book I was reaching for. Come on, man. How you going to go to sleep?
I'm awake. I am awake.
Yo.
Because my question would be, you could have read this, like, I knew when I've known when he died. I read his book when I was a teenager. So, I mean, this is like very public information. October 9th is when he died.
But I didn't know this when I was there. I hadn't read his book like you did. And the fact that...
It wasn't in that movie you inappropriately showed to them Arab students?
I never saw that. I hadn't seen that. I was introduced to that movie by Herbert, my colleague in 2014, 15, or 16. I lived and worked there with Herbert, 2014, 15, and 16. And when we were working, when I showed the movie then, it was 2017,
2018. Yeah, 2018, I believe.
And that movie came out well before that. It was old movie when I showed it.
Yeah, it was in the 90s, I think.
And the scene that, Big Mike, you're referring to is a scene where he's kissing his girlfriend, but in Saudi Arabia, which is a British state.
Why do you say that?
I was listening to KPFK today, and they were running down how Saudi Arabia was established. Lawrence of Arabia is the story of how the British set up Saudi Arabia to be a state, a British state. The Saudis shouldn't have any particular right to the oil more than any other Arab group, but the Saudis, the Saudi family, was able to be manipulated by the British. And so today we have what is called the Saudi Arabia, which we think is a whole ethnic group, which is a, you know, but it's not.
I don't think that's the proper history of Saudi Arabia.
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying if you had gotten here a little bit earlier to hear what the brother was breaking down on KPFK on the radio station, we would have been able to discuss that because he was breaking it down and we live there.
But that's not even true because... Getty found oil in Saudi Arabia, that region, and that's why the first company is called Saudi Aramco. Aramco stands for Arab American. So if anything, the Americans established all of that, not the British. Everything that we Saudi Aramco, that's the biggest.
I hear what you're saying.
Company there, and the bank was called. What was the Saba is Saudi. What's the American one? Anyway,
S A A B A or something like that.
Well, that was Saba, but it was another bank. Their first major bank was a partnership with an American banking interest.
Maybe it's Saudi Arabian American Bank.
Samba, yeah, that's what. Yeah, Samba, yeah, that's what it stood for. Saudi Arabia American Bank. That was their biggest bank for a long time until they got more people involved. So, no, I would say, like, up until, like, maybe the 70s when we tried to do a coup and have their king killed, America was deep. And America still is deep into Saudi. And that's the whole thing that MBS is trying to do.
Whoa.
Is remove American influence and get off the petrodollar.
You're right. Samba is Saudi American Bank.
Yeah.
Samba, Saudi American Bank. I just looked it up. Samba, KSA. Whoa. Okay, so the Americans had their interest there, but the brother was speaking and saying the British had their interest there as well.
Yeah, they do. That's why, like...
That's why we lost our jobs, because they said, get these Americans out of here. We're going to bring in the Brits and pay them less. That really happened to us. But go ahead, you were saying...
No, the British contractors made more than we did. At the school next to our school.
Yeah, that's different.
They made way more money.
No. That's different. They were working for a different company.
Right.
The company that brought the Brits into the company that we worked for, that brought Brits in, paid them less.
No, they paid them the same. They didn't have to pay.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have to pay unemployment and stuff like that. They didn't have to pay the same benefits. So they ultimately cost less.
Right.
And they were easier to fire.
Okay.
So they had no legal standing in American courts. That's why they got rid of us. And plus, the Saudiization, they had to hire lesser Saudi American men also.
All right.
They had to hire Saudi nationals up to a certain percentage as well. Mm. So, and plus, they didn't like me and you. You remember, because the fat colonel, he used to come to my class and audit it. Like, he would sit there and watch me teach.
That never happened to me.
Right, because, here's the thing. There are different people who could dislike you. So, yeah. I was disliked by American management. Right. And Saudi military management. You were just unliked by American management.
But also Canadian, because Murray was Canadian.
No, that's still the Western management. Was like,
okay.
And then there, you could be disliked by the people in Virginia also, the Virginians.
The Virginians I was cool with. I was
See, hired. They disliked me there too.
The Virginians were good.
So I knew at the end of the contract, it only took one person, one entity, one group to not...
One
Want
cabal.
You back?
One cabal.
I had everybody. They was like, get this nigga out of here.
How do you feel about him? I don't like him.
And oh,
you,
yeah. They, you don't yeah,
like
yeah.
him. You don't, oh, nobody likes him? All right, he's out of here.
Exactly. I didn't mind because my baby was a newborn, so I was coming home anyway.
All right, so back to... All right, so Saudi Arabia.
All right, so let's go to the next cartoon.
All right, so October 9th, but I was in Cuba when... I learned about Che. All right. Addis Ababa University, Ethiopia, okay?
They got a university in Ethiopia?
A number of them.
I didn't know they could read.
See, that's how detrimental it is to learn about Africa from an American perspective.
Hey.
See, he's never been. You've never been to Africa.
You've been to Africa? Counterpoint. Yes, I have, but counterpoint.
Ethiopia. You haven't been to Ethiopia.
Fuck them. Because guess what? They go out of their way to say, we not black, we Arabs. You know, they part of the Arab League. They don't think they're West African. They don't think that they're us.
Right.
So fuck them.
All right.
I am angry at all the money I spent doing math problems so I could send a UN bucket over there so they could eat.
That's cold-blooded. Man, don't you have any respect, any appreciation for the fact that they're the only black nation that...
they're not black. Support? They're not black people. They'll tell you they are not black people. They're only black when it's convenient.
When they it's aren't convenient?
Us. They aren't us. Like, see, these are you got to look at these Ethiopians and these Sudanese and these fucking Eritreans. They get over here and they're like, oh, it's a benefit to being black. We can be it's a ready-made culture we can glom onto, and they got these benefits, and they've been fighting these white supremacists for hundreds of years, so we can just come and be a part of this group over here, and we'll talk shit about them too, like that fucking Fresh and Fit homosexual. He has a whole bunch of shit to say about black Americans, but his family ran up out of the Sudan.
I don't know
to come over
fresh
here.
And fit. Who are you talking about?
This is a guy named Myron Gaines. That's not even his real name. I guess he westernized it to fit in with white folks better, but
now that's a good point. Okay, fitting into this American ideal. Because I learned Ralph Lauren is Jewish.
Everybody knows that's an old Jew.
I didn't know that. And I was buying his clothes when I was in high school. Like, yo, Polo, Ralph Lauren, that's the ish. Because that was the style.
Yeah. Tommy Hilfiger, Ralph Lauren, Jerbo jeans.
His name.
Timbo's.
So, okay, specifically Ralph Lauren. His name was like Ralph Leipstick.
Yeah.
A Jewish last name. Mm-hmm. He changed it in order to fit an American ideal. American, to hide his Jewish Jewishness. So he was very keen on that. He presented himself as an American and became quite successful.
Well, he was American, But here's a, well maybe you don't know this.
To hide the thing. But even Häagen-Dazs ice cream is the same story. Polish Jews created this name Häagen-Dazs, which means nothing, and they presented it like it's European and exotic in order to.
Okay, so they did a good job. But like the owner, the old owner of the Clippers.
Who was that?
His name was what's it, Silver?
All right, I don't know.
But anyway, the old owner of the Clippers, he changed his name to Americanize it. Let me see.
All right. So my point then is, like, there's a whole tradition of this changing one's, you know, changing and ridding oneself of their ethnic components.
But we can't do that. We don't get to pretend. That's the difference between us and everyone else.
But when you have a name like Denzel Washington, when you have a name, and you don't have a name like
Donald Sterling, that was his name.
Yeah.
Donald Sterling is a Jewish person. He changed his last name to Sterling to do business in real estate without having to be an over Jewish person. Did you hear about this story in Texas where this Asian wouldn't allow black people to invest in his real estate scheme?
No.
Yeah, and they took it to court, and the Asian won. That's what I'm saying. I'm against all this immigration. I'm against all of it, 100%.
Okay, now, all right, we're going to have to move into some other areas because, all right,
here's the story. Show me your cartoon.
No. We got to get down to this. All right, so the movie, what the hell was it, Bank? Two black men, one of which is the ex-husband of my mom's friend. So I was able to talk with her and get firsthand, you know, reports. But the story, it's a story with Anthony Mackie and Samuel L. Jackson in it.
Yeah, it was on TV the other day.
The bankers, right? Okay, so these brothers, because they were pushed out due to discrimination and racism, devised a plan to use a white boy to stand in for them to make all of their real estate deals. So although they were met with discrimination and racism, they used their cunning to subvert this. Their example of ingenuity isn't unique. There have been many blacks who have used whites to stand in or have even passed themselves for white to further the endeavors and further the enterprise of black people, of those groups.
Well, you know, my philosophy is black people should be lying to white people all the time. They don't deserve any type of truth.
Well, I think that's what, again, I was listening to KPFK and the woman was making it very clear. The woman is running, she runs the, what is it, families, healthy food for African-American families or healthy for African-American families, right in Leimert Park. You've been in Leimert Park. She was talking about this and saying that when people are being surveyed, when people are being asked, you know, or just, you know, questions are posed to them, they're giving the answers that fit the criteria that allows them to reap the benefits of whatever. So people are basically lying in order to get whatever. Oh, your child has Down syndrome and you need some benefits? Yeah, he acts a little dumb sometimes. Sure. Can I get those benefits? Here you go.
No, you know what's terrible? I used to work at Social Security in my 20s, and these pirates, these black women would come in with their kid, and they would, on purpose, go out of their way to get them on SSDI so they would get a check anymore. This was like right after welfare reform. So, and it was always a black boy. It was almost never a black girl unless she legit had something wrong with her.
I need to use the restroom and take a break.
This motherfucker.
we're back.
You're at 109 right now.
109. Anyway, so they would come in and they would demand, they would never educate their son. They wanted him to get this check forever. So they would go
that
out of there.
That is cold-blooded, man.
It's sickening.
Oh, I have another story after this one for you. Yes.
So they would go out of their way. They would never get the kid tutoring. They would never do anything so that the kid could get off of this sentence, basically, that this kid was sentenced to.
Oh.
And it was always a black boy. It was never a black girl.
Right. Okay. Peep game. Here's a story from the 1800s, right? California specific. In the 1800s, California became a state in 1850. It was due in part to the 1848 Bear Flag Revolt. 39 men got together, seven of which were black men. We've been here. We've always participated, no matter what. Every war this country has ever fought, we've always participated in it.
Better, a bunch of dummies.
For better or for worse. No, we couldn't
say. Always for worse.
For better or for worse. No. The goals and the philosophies and ideologies excluded us, and the laws excluded us, but.
So you didn't benefit. That's the point.
The benefit was hard won because we had to fight for our benefits. And
no, we never got them. That's the thing. We've never gotten any of the benefits that we should have gotten for being citizens of this country. That's why I'm against immigration, because how are you going to bring in new people when you haven't settled up with the old people?
Because capitalism, because they're trying to keep capitalism alive, and we know that capitalism needs a population to be exploited, and so... Rather than address wrongs in the past, they're just continuing to move forward. But here's a story. Here's a story for you. 1800s in California, many blacks came to California from what's really surprising? From Chile, the South American country of Chile. Blacks came from there. Blacks came from other southern states, Mexico.
Where are you seeing a Chilean black at?
There was in Chile, there was a slave port.
So, I'm talking about here. You know any Chilean blacks?
Well, you're not going to get, we're hundreds of years removed. We're not going to get their story. We're not going to get their, hey, our family was from Chile. Besides, they weren't even from Chile. It was a slave port. So they were Africans who landed in Chile, but made their way from Chile to America.
Mm.
All right. So it's wholly an African that, you know, has traveled the globe. And then what's really fascinating about history is that people walked across this nation. And that's an idea that we wouldn't even consider. Hell no. What are you talking about? Anyway, from Mexico, from all these other countries. All right. Here's the story, right? In the 1800s, a black man in Mississippi has a free black man in Mississippi has enslaved cousins. Indentured servitude, slaves, slave bondage, debt bondage. There's so many different forms of slavery. He was a free man. His cousins were slaves. And he had to get his cousins. He had to pay his uncle, I suppose, to get his cousins to come with him to California. So he had enough money. And that's another part of the slave experience that we don't hear about often. There were ways to get money, and there were ways, service, there were ways of buying one's freedom for yourself, for your family.
If you were allowed. It's like that's yes. The whole thing, too. Yes. Like, oh, his kindly slave master allowed, after he did his slave work, he was allowed to go do some other work and keep a portion of that money to eventually buy his freedom. I mean, you don't get points for that. That's not a moral thing to do.
No.
I'm going to slave you out.
Everything is terrible. Everything is terrible. I do not argue that. But there were 4,000. There were more than 4,000 families, black families in America during slavery who were free and who had enslaved Africans, others, who had enslaved other blacks. 4,000. All right, but peep game. The story that I was telling, there's this free black man who travels from Mississippi to California with like two of his cousins who the enterprise that they were going to set on was California had gold. They were going to make it rich in gold, kind of like what Bitcoin is and all this other type of stuff today. But whatever, like, oh, this is what's going to happen. Over the course of a year or so, the enterprise isn't fruitful, and the free cousin is losing money, and he only has enough money to return to Mississippi himself to get back a loan. The other cousins, they're sufficient in California. They've got $3,000 between them. They have a mule. They're subsisting. All right. That cousin who returned to Mississippi, he comes up with this plan to say, hey, I left my property in California. I'm going to go back and get it. Never mind the fact that it's his family. Never mind that they are doing well in California for themselves. Never mind that fact. He wants his money and he's going back to get them. So in Mississippi, he rounds up a posse and travels back to California and wakes up his cousins in the middle of the night, throws them in a jail. You've seen the type of thing that I'm talking about on Django, where they have like it's metal bars. It's hitched to or connected to the horses, a horse-drawn wagon or something like that. And the men are in the back, basically in a jail. So basically he went and grabbed his cousins. He was like, to hell with your freedom. You are my property. You still owe me. I'm bringing you back to Mississippi to do some other type of work. I think that's a cold-blooded story. And it's like, but they could have been, they were probably better off. Their lives could have developed and flourished and they could have done some beautiful things. But the profit motive, hey, you owe me or you know.
Well, I mean, I hope they killed him at some point.
The profit motive infringed upon their pursuit of happiness, which is a wholly un-American thing. But you're saying?
No, I mean, well, that's bullshit.
What?
Happiness?
Pursuit of happiness is an American principle.
It's not an American reality. It's Boom. Never been.
Boom. Boom. All right, so back to 109.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, I'm at the... at the university, they do have them. There I am. It's actually a museum. There I am looking at the stuff at the museum. I'm going to the restroom. On my way to the restroom, I notice something on the door. What do I notice? Nothing, none other than someone wrote 109 on the door. I know it looks like log, 10G, 10G, or L-O-G. But that's 109 written on the door. What are your thoughts? Another coincidence?
Yeah, another coincidence.
That I noticed.
Yeah.
So what do you think about me? So sorry that I'm noticing this stuff. So sorry that I'm paying so much attention to this. Sorry for you, dude. It means nothing. It's just coincidences. Why?
Yeah, it's just a number you happen to be keyed in on. It could have just, like that movie, the number 23, and you see 23 everywhere. Yes.
What movie is this?
It's a movie where Jim Carrey got infatuated with the number 23 and went crazy.
Jim Carrey? The number is called 23?
I don't know. I don't remember what the movie's called.
But is it the mind, the spotless mind or something like this?
No. Let's see.
Yeah, we have to do some Googling. The Spotless Mind or something like that. Is that the movie?
No, that's not it.
What was that movie about? I never saw it.
You could like, I think you could pay, I think Steve Carell was in it. You could pay to like have your mind erased.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, 2004 movie starring Jim Carrey. That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, but that's not it.
But that's not it. Good. Because I didn't want it to be, I didn't want that story to be my story. Mm-mm. Jim Carrey. 23. The number 23. Jim Carrey stars as a man who becomes obsessed with the 23 enigma, once he reads about it in a strange book that seemingly mirrors his own life.
Yeah.
The number 23, huh? Hmm. Silence. A pregnant pause. Pregnant silence. Well, I've certainly given a lot of my attention to this number, for sure.
Yeah, you should stop.
I should stop. Well, that's the end of this one.
You're at 109 right now.
Where's the, there's no more cartoons?
I have many. I have several.
Okay, let's go.
Like eight. All right, so this is Ethiopia. And I saw those numbers right there on the door. And then, to give you something else, years later, I called a friend in Ethiopia and I asked him to go to that university, go to the door, figure out why that number was there.
You are bothering people across the globe.
That brother contacts me religiously. Hey, brother, help me. Money, this, that, and the third. He thinks I've got $50,000 to send to his bank to help him buy his grandfather's land and make investments in Ethiopia. I met him with two other Americans.
So you met a scammer in Ethiopia who won't leave you alone.
Basically. And then even in Los Angeles, I shared my information. I shared the text that I received from him with the Ethiopian community. All right. Aki, who is the owner of the store, Mercato in Ethiopia. I told her about him and she said to me, "Never mind him. Ignore his messages. He's scamming. He's doing this."
Right.
And I was just like, but I know this guy.
Yeah. He let's say once a year, you just go crazy and send him $100. That would be like probably 20% of his income for the year.
Right.
So like, yeah. And it costs him nothing to send you a begging email.
Right on. Right on.
How much did you send him to go look at a toilet?
What you talking about? Oh, that's nothing. I didn't send him. I just asked
him. So you wasted his time. You didn't even send him any money?
Nah.
You as bad as he is.
All right, so peep game. So he goes to this door. He knocks on the door.
You're a menace.
There's a professor behind it, and the guy speaks English. And so
I thought that was a toilet.
No, I was on the way to the restroom. This was a door.
I thought that was a toilet. 202, 203 was the toilet room.
No. That's an office. There are two doors. There are two office spaces behind that door. But peep game. There are two rooms back there, right?
Yeah.
You ever heard of Emperor Haile Selassie?
Oh, this shit.
This is his home. And behind those two doors, his two children had their rooms. That was their rooms. They converted his royal palace and his into a museum today. So there I was. His children, that was their bedrooms, right? So it's 202 and 203. They're offices today for the university staff. The man told me he wrote 109 on the door because it was a section to one of the classes that he taught. And so the students who would visit his office would know 109 is the class that he taught or whatever.
So it was a perfectly logical explanation of why 109 was on the door, and it wasn't ancient aliens speaking to you directly. Hey, how about this? I think 109 is satanic. Maybe it's Satan trying to speak to you.
Ooh.
So I see 109. I see the return of the Antichrist.
Now, peep game, because although I have a positive interpretation of it, I also learned that 109 has a publicly, it's very popular, it has a neo-Nazi connotation because there were 109 Jews who were murdered or something like this, the first 109 or 109 sacrifices or something like this. And so the neo-Nazis, they love this number.
And you do too.
For different reasons.
For the same reasons.
No, for very different reasons.
You're famously anti-Semitic.
See, look at that.
When we were in Saudi Arabia, please. You told me the reason why I love Saudi Arabia is there's no Jews around. They purposely keep the Jews out.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You said you loved it. You said you love Saudi Arabia.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You said I love 109 because of 109 slaughtered Jews. Ladies and I love Saudi Arabia because it's Jew free.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I was taken aback.
Please know that this
because
is
because I don't stand for any anti-Semitism in any way, and I admonished Larry profusely.
Look at the word facetious in the dictionary. Look up sarcasm and facetious, both of them. All right, and know that this is a Semitic form, a Semitic loving, and by Semites, I'm referring to Ethiopians, I'm referring to Eritreans, Somali, Jewish, Arab, okay? I'm referring to all the Semites. So, and I'm pro education, so pro learning. So, you know, let's not get trapped into these titles, these categories when they're only used for political gain or for political destruction. So everything that Mike just said, no, that ain't it. I never said that. But peep game. So I'm in Ethiopia and I see it on the door. And there's a perfectly logical explanation for it. But it caught my eye nevertheless, and there I was. Next story. There I am, Saudi Arabia. Speak of the devil. Speak of Saudi Arabia. There I was at the Dammam Airport. Big Mike knows this airport. I was waiting for a taxi. All right.
Why is everything green?
Well, I don't know. I know, right? I'll have to message that to him. I was like, bro, everything is green, man. At least in this picture, right? In some of the others, like old girl's hair was green. Old girl's hair was green in the Bahrain story. And my buddy Kevin noticed that. He was like, she has green hair? Like, no, it's not perfect. What do you expect? So I was looking at the license plates. And I just created this license plate as a homage to my wife. So we got married on 9/14, September 14th. Her initials are RMJ. So I just had to throw that in there. But what happens to me? As I'm waiting for the taxi, I get matched with a particular taxi, and I get in that taxi that has the first three digits are 109 on my taxi.
Yeah, he was driving you to hell.
Man. This is the sign of the devil?
Like, you have your interpretation, and I like to interpret it as the devil trying to contact you.
Wow.
You're his conduit to coming back to rule over Earth for 10,000 years.
Wow.
10,009 years, he's going to rule over Earth.
Wow.
And you will be at his hand because you see 109. Mm. You saw the devil first.
All right. So next, I'm traveling up Machu Picchu, hiking up. I see the sights.
You had a big dumb pack like that?
No, I didn't. That's just to illustrate. These are comics. This is not. Every detail in the comic is not precise.
At all accurate.
It's accurate, but it's not precise.
It's inaccurate. It's a bunch of lies. It's a bunch of devil lies.
Oh my gosh. And then I look down at my watch. Atop the mountain, Machu Picchu. And then I see something familiar. Now, it's not 109, but it's 1009. And there it is. The time was 10:09 a.m.
Doesn't count. If it's not 109 exactly, it doesn't count.
That's a good point. That's where the discussion of math comes in. If it's 109, those are three numbers. And even if you have 1009, you still have... Okay. If you look at 109... You've got 1 and 0, that's 10. And then you have the number 9, and that's 9. 10, 9. So if you follow that, 10, 9, 10, 9, 10, 9, even if you look at 1009, you still have 10. And then you have the 0, 9, which is still the value of 9. So you still have 10, 9. That's why when I call it, I see 10, 9, then I don't say 109. because
Kobe does. Kobe didn't say IC-10-9.
He didn't say that. That's true.
Kobe hey, but with ChatGPT and AI, you can make them say IC-10-9.
I don't want to do all that. We're not.
You can make Kobe say it. You can make Nipsey say it.
I'm not with that.
You
I'm
can make Basquiat nope. say it.
I'm not with that.
I'm with that. This is our new project. I'm going to come over here every Saturday and we'll just make various people say it.
I'm glad you said Basquiat because you know what? Basquiat wrote exactly 109 on his artwork.
So.
Boom, baby. He wrote 109. So and, even.
And okay. guess what though?
What?
He's in hell. Right now with the devil see? Preparing to come back.
See?
And he's and see, that's why you love him.
Now, Peep Game. You love
109, Basquiat, and the devil.
All right, let's take out this 10-9 episode here because it's 10, it's 9 minutes past 10. It's not 109. Even if we take that out. Because
it could be 109. It could be 9 minutes after one.
And I do have moments like that.
Yeah, every day. There are two moments where it's 109.
You're right. But 109, but then 1009 is another opportunity to talk about 109.
No, it's not. It's not 109.
So then if you look at the clock, then it would be 109, it would be 1009. Okay. So that's like, what is that? Two? That's four. That's four opportunities throughout the day to see.
Just 109.
And then there's 1109, which has 109 in it. 1109. So we've got at least six times throughout the day.
That doesn't count either.
Six times throughout the day where you there's can see 109.
That's not how you do numbers.
I dig it.
You're
a purist.
Unless that's how Satan requires numbers to be done. Is that how Satan does it?
Oh my gosh. Moving right along.
Is that how they do it in hell?
Hola, soy Pablo y te quiero invitar a IC-109 en un gran proyecto. Ya sabes, desde Cartagena con puro sabor.
Oh my goodness, man. Moving right along. All right, the next story takes place in Ireland, 2022. There goes the ire. I was at the restaurant eating, enjoying.
You went to Ireland in 2022?
In 2022, I went to five Scandinavian.
This dude is European. A scammer. Five he barely European. Works and he's around the world. Scamming people. Go ahead.
Never that. I've never. What? No. There is a woman who does travel the globe, and yeah, she does scam, or allegedly. There are a number of people who are complaining about her.
What's her name?
Mary Jane Byarm. I made a video about her. She literally posted a video.
You should edit that out.
She posted a video.
I was just kidding.
She posted a video and she wrote one title on it, and the title was unrelated to the video, and I watched it.
So?
And I was like, how dare you?
It's clickbait.
How dare you do that? So I made a video about her scamming me.
She didn't scam you.
She scammed me.
She wasted your time.
She wasted my time, exactly. All right, so here we go next. There I am eating my meal. They send me the bill, the receipt, and I'm surprised to see I got tab number 109.
Wow.
That was the first time ever eating at that restaurant.
That is cool.
And those are 109. It's not 1009. It's not 1,000,009. It's 109. Boom.
When Satan comes back to take your soul, he's going to be like, did you see all the clues I left? 109.
Yo veo 109.
Man. All right, next. I'm in Japan. All right, now peep game. I'm in Japan, right? Riding the subway, and I'm like.
Was you one of those dudes who rub up against the young girls in the subways? They call them shikans.
Ay, Dios mío.
Was that you? I'm the black shikan. 109. I am the black gaijin. I'm here to touch. School girls.
Ay, Dios mío. Mapsosa. Aish.
I'm here to touch the girls.
Anio.
In their Sailor Moon costumes.
Nunca.
With their Bobby socks.
All right, so I'm riding this the subway, right, on my way to Shibuya. And I'm looking at, and I'm noticing that there's a sign that says Tokyo everywhere. Now, Tokyo is the name of the Tokyo what is it called? A railway system. So it's an acronym for Tokyo. There's a whole. I gotta go to Google. Detensu, something like that. Tokyo meaning, what does it say? Okay, it's Tokyo Kyuko Dentetsu. That's Tokyo Express Electric Railway. That's what Tokyo means, okay? It's the railways, not the name of the railway. Okay? So I see Tokyo, and I'm like, why isn't it Tokyo? The name of the country, the name of the capital is Tokyo. Why do I keep seeing Tokyo? Well, I didn't know that they were just saying it's the railway company and blah, 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 blah. But what does Tokyo mean? Big Mike, come on, wake up, man.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
What does it mean?
I don't know.
It means 10-9. To means 10 and Q means 9. Tokyo. It means 10-9, or in other words, 109. That's what it means.
So you saw a sign on. So instead of just writing the numbers 109, they wrote that.
They wrote Tokyo, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's just dumb.
So I went and I took pictures in Tokyo at Hachiko. And then what did I see? What did I see in Tokyo? I saw the world famous shopping mall called Shibuya Ichimaru-kyu. Or in big letters atop the building, what does this, in big numbers, what three numbers are atop the building? None other than 109 in Shibuya.
So did you have the greatest orgasm of your life right there in your pants? Did you just go, no.
All right. Okay, you're making fun of me.
Yo veo 109.
Hola, mi gente. Yo soy Anjarki desde Venezuela y yo veo 109.
Yo recuerdo a un huésped que tuvimos acá en el hotel. Un hombre extraño, pero interesante. Él se quedó en la habitación 119 y había algo con ese número, con el número 109. Recuerdo que él bajó acá a recepción y me dijo, ¿cuál es el internet? Y me dijo, porque es el 109. Yo le digo, sí, bueno, hay uno en la habitación 109. Y él me dijo, interesante, ese es un número que tiene algo que ver conmigo. Al día siguiente, él salió del hotel y estuvo tomando fotos en la esquina, no muy lejos de acá. Y justo cuando él estaba tomando las fotos, pasó un bus con el número 109. Y luego él vino a contarme y yo dije, eso es muy extraño, pero yo dije, debe haber algo mágico, de no sé, algo con ese número. Me pareció muy interesante.
You guys go closer to the wall, yeah, whatever.
Just, I see one die.
That's all it is.
I see 109.
That was awesome.
Yo veo 109.
Yo veo 109.
Gracias. But here's the thing. Yeah, I did have a certain feeling like,
I know you had the biggest orgasm of your life.
I was
right
like,
there.
I was like, yo, those are my numbers.
My numbers are 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I got to go back to the hotel. I made a mess. Oh, God.
I was like, yo, check that out. That's crazy.
And then Satan spoke to you.
No voices, no experiences, just like, I did wonder why 109 was up there. So that led me on to like figuring, trying to understand like what does it mean in Japan? I wanted to know, what does it mean in Ethiopia? Why am I seeing it? I knew in Bahrain on the satellite dish, it was just a coincidence. It was just the
frequency. These are all just coincidences.
But 109, see, okay, in Shibuya, at Shibuya Ichimaruku, they could have called it Shibuya Tokyo. And the 109 reference would have been lost on so many people. But Shibuya 109, they put it in your face. 109, because it means Tokyo. It means that it's very close to. 109 is very close to Tokyo. That's what's happening. It's a pun. It's a play on the words.
The play?
Well, it's to show that these numbers are very close to. If you read the numbers, it's very close to the name of our capital. That's the play. They've got.
Oh, Tokyo and Tokyo?
Yeah, it's very close.
Oh my God, that is lame.
Then they have other numbers like, okay, you've heard of the gangster, the gang, the Yakuza?
Of course.
Yakuza is a number. Yakuza. I forgot which numbers. I got to go to Google.
It's 109.
No.
Oh, God.
It's a different number. It's like 86 something. 864 or something like that. Yakuza. All right. What numbers? The Yakuza. Oh, man. Yakuza number is 184. No, is that right? I think that's wrong. Oh, come on. No, 62 something. What is it? 62 Yakuza? 628? Oh, man, how come I can't find this? Oh, I didn't type it correctly. 893. Yakuza is 893.
Well. All right, so what else happened in Japan?
Good times, good eating. Oh, just a wonderful experience. But you know what? My granddad had an experience when he was in Japan, too. That was, like, spiritual. That was, like whoa.
My great-grandfather was there in World War II. You ever see those pictures I put on Facebook?
Nah.
Yeah, a couple of times I put pictures of his army unit in 1943. And all of them had Japanese girlfriends. Yep. I believe he had one too, but he never, obviously he never took a picture with her because he was married to my grandmother at the time.
Whoa.
And but there is a picture in his archives of just like a Japanese woman standing by herself. So I assume that was his girlfriend.
Yep.
And yeah, so my family has an 80-year tradition of fucking Asian women. It's been going on for decades.
Whoa.
But yeah.
But then, you know, Asiatic black man. There's that term, Asiatic black man. I heard it first from LL Cool J in his rhymes. Asiatic. I'm Asiatic. I'm some acrobatic. Yada, yada. Asiatic is a term that the five percenters put forth, the nation of gods and earth. The black man is an Asiatic black man.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, I need to learn. I need to be schooled on that, but it's there.
You could be Larry 32X.
All right, so.
Hey, you want to join the Nation of Islam? We could be out there in them hot-ass suits on Crenshaw selling bean pies and passing out final calls. We could be doing that. I drove past that dude in his Sunday suit trying to sell papers. I'm like.
I buy those bean pies. They're delicious.
I'm like, my God. All figure right. out something else to do, my man.
All right, so here we go. What's next? After this, now I'm in Sweden at the Alfred Nobel Peace Prize Museum. I'm in Sweden, all right? Now, there's a 10-9 correlation to Malala. Malala Yousafzai. You know her story?
No, what was that?
Pakistani young girl who was shot by the Taliban because she was trying to get an education. Shot in her head, but she survived.
And, Jesus Christ.
And then she fought for equality in Pakistan for girls to learn.
She should move.
So what happened is She won a Nobel Peace Prize. What happened is she was shot on 10-9, which is an allusion to October 9th.
Yeah, the Taliban was like, just wait. Wait two more days, it'll be 10-9, and we can shoot her in the head. Larry wants to, we're doing this for Larry Wiggs, our dark master.
Whoa. That's terrible. So 10-9. Yeah, Malala was shot on 10-9.
Where's she at now?
She's alive and well. She's a peace activist doing her thing.
All right. Not in Pakistan, she ain't.
I don't know.
She's doing it from the outside.
All right, so.
dudes don't play around.
All right, so here we are at the Alfred Nobel Peace Prize. There I am. And so Malala is a connection because I saw her pictures. I saw her scarf. So her presence was very, very much noticed, you know, throughout the museum. And that was enough of a 109 connection to be like, oh, okay, this is cool that I'm here in Sweden at the museum. But then I'm accosted by one of the museum patrons, and she tells me there's a museum tour that's beginning in 15 minutes. You should join the tour. So I'm like,
you probably look confused.
I'm like, why do I need to join this tour? And she's really insistent, join the tour, join the tour. 15 minutes is going to start. She doesn't tell me that she's going to lead the tour. She's just like, join the tour in 15 minutes.
Okay, well, now you understand why she was doing it.
All right.
She probably gets paid by the person.
So she tells me, hey, a tour will begin in 15 minutes. You should really join the tour. And I'm just like, all right, fine, lady. I'm joining the tour. So I join the tour. And within the first 10 minutes of her museum spiel, museum tour, I noticed that just behind her, behind a display case, there is a document with the number 109 written on it. The document was from the year 1934. Come on, Big Mike. Wake up, man. So there it is, right behind her while I'm on this tour. I'm standing like 8 feet away from this woman, and I see this document from 1934 written, 109 is written on it. So I ask her, I'm like, hey, what's happened? Like, can you read that number for me? I can't see it from this distance. I could see it. I just wanted someone else to confirm it for me. So she looks at it and she's like, that says 109. There I am in Sweden at the museum on the tour that she told me to join so fervently. And I see 109 again.
She was like, we have a master. We have a message from our master, Satan. Join the tour, Larry. Maybe your whole life is the Matrix and they're communicating you. So that, because like you're the savior of humanity.
Follow the white rabbit, Neo.
You're the 109, Neo.
Follow the white rabbit.
And the Matrix is hell.
Peep game. This is exactly what happened. All right. Next story. Yep, there it is. It's a fascinating story related to Carl von Ossietzky. Now see, the thing about it is with Carl von Ossietzky, like, okay, let's work with this. It's a message from Satan type of thing. And that's a terrible thing for Malala to have been shot. But then you said, oh, it's, you know, the Taliban is worshiping the devil and they're doing the bidding of 10-9. Okay. Carl von Ossietzky is doing the bidding of 10-9. But Carl von Ossietzky is doing it for good. So here's the positive spin. If 10-9 is not related to the devil. It's not bad because Carl von Ossietzky stood up. He was a pacifist and he stood up against the Nazis. He was German himself. And rather than say, all right, I see the Germans are building their artillery and I see that the Germans are going to are planning to use that against the Jewish population, I'm okay with that. He said, no, that's wrong. You don't do that. You don't build up your artillery. You don't fool the people. You don't have a clandestine plan to commit genocide on these people. You don't do that. Carl von Ossietzky stood up and wrote about the Nazis' plans, about Hitler's plans. That was detrimental to his career, detrimental to his life and his safety. But he fought for what was right. and he fought for peace throughout the world. That's who 109 is connected to. That good guy, that courageous journalist. Not some, you know, Taliban girl shooting, female woman suppressing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
You're at 109 right now.
Come on, Big Mike. What's going on? What are your thoughts on that? You have none, right? Man. All right. Well, that's the end of the comics for right now. I think I have some others, but they weren't included in this particular video. All right. But that's going to end the discussion. We did an hour and 14 minute discussion on the comic strip.
Okay.
So we're out. Thank you for listening. IC109. Peace and blessings.
October 9th.
Yes, sir.
That's where it starts.
You're at 109 right now.